I found them. I had a call on draft. Can we reopen this meeting with a moment of silence for the addict who still suffers and be thankful that it's not us today? God, grant me serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. I am an addict again called Andrea. My clean date is 12/19/07. And I only say that to declare the only way you get a clean date is if you're an addict. I qualify. I'm from Pittsburgh. And I got my foundation in Johnstown now. It took me from 89 till 10/19/07 to accumulate some clean time that turned into recovery. Because through my past, I have been clean, but I've never recovered. I come from a place, my first meeting was in a place called 951 Penn Avenue. They call it the House of Pain. We had coffee. If you got a donut or a cookie, that was the bonus, because those was donated. What they bought at 951 was boxes of Kleenex for when we shared, because there was some crying and some snot swinging up in there. They was getting to the exact nature of what was wrong with them. When I first got there, they also told me that I didn't have to live like that no more. And I didn't understand what they meant, because I wasn't living like nothing. I was still working. I'm a certified welder. I've built a bridge and a roller coaster. So I was living good as far as I was concerned. But even though I built a bridge and a roller coaster, I ended up at 951 Penn Avenue because I stole my kids' clothes after I brought them for school. And I told them it was an inside job. It was. I was the inside. And when the dope man came back to my house to sell me some drugs in my son's suit, and I seen the pain on his face, I ended up cutting my wrist, trying to get some sympathy. So they took me over West Side, and that's how I ended up at my first meeting, 951 Penn Avenue. They also told me, pay attention to the readings. The readings are the most important part of the meeting, because number one, they tell you who you are an addict. If you don't think you're one now, there's an IP called Who's an Addict. It's yellow. It's got questions in it for you to go and do yourself. And if you don't believe you're an addict now, by the time you finish that IP, you will. You'll know. They also told me why I was here. They also told me what the program is about. And then they told me how it works. They told me in the reading, it said that any addict, seek a recovery, could lose the desire to use and find a new way to live. I missed the definitive word. The definitive word was seeking recovery. I thought when I put down my pipe, I was cool. I was clean. I wasn't in recovery. I was just clean. I wasn't about to do what it also continues to tell me, that there's more than one thing left that would defeat us in our recovery. It's an attitude of indifference or intolerance towards spiritual principles. Three of them that are indispensable are honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. See, I was honest. I honestly came to get clean. I did. I was open-minded enough to go to the meeting. But I wasn't honest with y'all to let y'all know what exactly was going on, because I'm not going to tell y'all that stuff. There's some stuff I'm going to take to my grave. That's why I continue to go back out and continue to use. If you don't get honest, and especially me, if I don't get honest in this program, I am doomed to return to where I came from, on Center Avenue, Fifth Avenue, Heron Avenue, and all the projects and bandominiums that I sprinkled in it. I'm doomed to return. I'm a stickler for the readings for the simple fact that anything you need to know, and also, excuse me, back up. Anytime I stepped to the podium, I take my basic test. Because anytime I stepped in the crack house, I had a pipe. So this is my new get high. Anything I need to know, there's an index in the back, and anything I think I need to know, it'll show me what page to find it. My first sponsor told me, sit on the front row. She said, recovery's on the front line. Ain't nothing in the back of the row but closest to get out the door to get to the dope man. She told me to close my eyes and listen to the readings and absorb them. And not bragging, but I now know them verbatim. It took me 28 years, though. See, what I'm saying is that when I came in 89, I didn't get what I came for. It took me 28 more years to accumulate 5 years clean. Y'all don't have to do that today. It took me progression. It took me, this machine, y'all, is called progression. See, I didn't have to have this. When I came in 89, I came in on my own, two wheels and three legs. I didn't have this, but they told me I didn't have to live like that. I didn't have to, and see, I didn't absorb what they meant, that you don't have to live like that. That meant I didn't have to keep going out to get high. But see, I thought I had learned how to do it successfully. And so I continued to progress. When I came in 89, I stayed 7 months. They say doing 90 and 90. I did about 180. No, I'm lying, and this is an honest program. I was doing 4 meetings a day because in Pittsburgh, you could do 4 meetings a day. You could start at 9 and go to 11. So I did more than that in 90 days. But I stayed 7 months, and see, I was willing to get a sponsor like they suggest, but I wasn't willing to do what the sponsor said. See, they told me I had to do step 4. And I told my sponsor I did 1, 2, and 3 in rehab. And I don't need step 4. That's for addicts. Guess what? This addict went back out to use because I didn't grasp the significance. This program is built on steps. 12 of them. Not the first 3. Not the ones I like. Not the ones that pertain to me, because see, I'll do the ones I like real fast. I only did step 4 this time when I came to Johnstown. Broken. No place else to go. Didn't like myself. Was contemplating suicide, but I remember this place called MA. They have always been there every time I came in and out of this program. Second time I got clean was around 2000. I say that because that's when my mom died, and she asked me, she said, if you don't get clean before I die, get clean before you do. So I tried to do it again in 2000. I stayed clean 9 months. But once again, my sponsor said we got to do step 4. Not me. I did 1, 2, and 3 again in rehab. It don't stop with 1, 2, and 3. So I did what I'm accustomed to doing. I went on back out, picked up my pipe, and continued to progress. See, every time I get clean and I go back out, I'm not going out for more research. I'm going back out to find out, how much more can I hurt my family? How much more can I neglect my kids? Maybe I could keep tricking and don't catch AIDS this time. Maybe I could keep tricking and don't pick up an STD. I've been getting away with it. See, every time I went out, that's the firepower I go out with. Well, it didn't happen to me before. It ain't going to happen again. By the grace of God, it hasn't happened again. But guess what? The definitive word there is not yet. Because if I go back out, AIDS is out there waiting, STDs is waiting, hepatitis is waiting. I just haven't got it yet. But it's waiting if I do go back out. Also, my mom used to tell me that I figured I was a functional addict because I always kept a house and my kids was home. They was in the basement. I was in my bedroom. My daughter got pregnant in my house. She was also molested at my house. Because I'm in the bedroom. And every time she would knock, I would tell her I'm coming. And 5 minutes later, she'd knock again, I'd tell her I'm coming. The addict I was had no concept of time. That 8-ball told me I can't move till I finish. That was hours later. Not knowing my daughter's telling me mom hurt. See, and I thought I was a good mom. CYS knows nothing about my kids. Okay? I wish they had her. Because some of the things my children went through my addiction might not have happened. You know, through these 5 years, by the grace of God, we're starting to rebuild and repair the damage that was done. But these things I'll take to my grave. All them times I didn't answer when they knocked at my bedroom door. You know. This program is an awesome program because it affords me the privilege to release myself from things that keep me bound up. When I go back and I said about Donna 51, how we had Kleenex, they was getting to the root of the nature of why am I tricking? Why am I leaving my kids in the house? You know, they wasn't doing top surface stuff. Oh, my boyfriend left me. Or I can't get no money for a weed. See, that wasn't what we was doing down 951 Pandemic. They was flinging snot and actually telling what's going on. Yes, I'm tricking. See, not me. My favorite word was not me. I ain't a crackhead. I'm a head of crack. I always had a line. You know, I wasn't tricking. I was dating. But when the police picked me up, it didn't say dating on the paper. It said prostitution. And oh, my God, that word was too big for me, not in my family. My sisters are black history teachers, school teachers. My one sister's a nurse with a VA. My brother welded, and so did I. Risk prostitution out of my family. Me? Because I let my disease continue to progress. When my first meeting, they told me I didn't have to live like that. That's what that means. I didn't have to get to the bitter ends of prostitution. I didn't have to get to the bitter ends of my children in the crib and my daughter got raped at home. She didn't even have to go nowhere. Right in her own house. But in 89, my first meeting, I could have been saved and spared from all of that. But the addict I am thought I could build a bigger, better mousetrap. There is no better way to get high than you've already got if you're sitting here. Stop the madness. You know, when I say I didn't get this, I came to Georgetown in 07. And 2 years later, I caught the swine flu. That's what gave me this, but not really. The damage was done because everything I did, I smoked. I never drank. After eighth grade, I didn't. Two hangovers. By eighth grade, I was done with alcohol. Scared of needles. Like to talk, so I can't shoot no dope because you got to be quiet. So everything I did, I smoked. They done put me out, y'all. Everything I did, I smoked. And to be honest, I'm still bound up with a pack of cigarettes to this day. But what I'm saying is, you don't have to continue to progress. My disease continued to progress because I let it. It didn't tell me, come on, I got some more stuff for you to do. You think you might want to go out on the street and prostitute because you're not welding now? No. I voluntarily stepped up to the plate. Why can't I go on Fifth Avenue? Everybody else is. No, why don't you continue to go to work and take care of your kids and do what you're supposed to do? Once I touched that crack pipe, it was a done deal. Now, my family that I traveled up here with, we was in the car talking about some things, and I told them, when you step up to this podium, God will release you from a lot of stuff. He will make your mouth say things that you never thought you would say, the things that you thought would go to your grave. But see, now I'm clean. I can't take them to the grave because my secret got the same privilege to walk through that door of recovery like I do. And if they step up in here on me and tell my story before I do, I'm going to be shamed. So I tell this first so it can't hurt me. Anything pain shared is pain lessened. And once I've released myself from some of the things that held me bound up that I voluntarily stepped up to the plate for, nobody could walk in and tell it first. You know, and just lightly to touch the subject on it, we were talking about things that we say, oh, no, not me, I would never. I would never prostitute, but I did. But I was too ashamed to call it that. I called it dating. There was something, I would never neglect my children. But I did. They're in the basement, I'm upstairs. They're knocking, I'm not answering. I neglected them. I am no better than the mother whose children are with CYS. Matter of fact, to me, they got a blessing because their children, they might be in a better place. You know, and these are things, my kids are grown now. But when I look in their face, as grown as they are, I've only been clean 5 years. They forgive me, but they still hurt. And I still see it in their face, and I allow them to go there sometime with it. Mom, remember when? But see, I'm clean enough now that it won't chase me to the street. My daughter didn't tell me she was raped at my house until I was 3 years clean. She said, Mom, I got something to show you. She kept a journal. So I know she ain't lying. It goes back to when she was 8 years old. She kept a journal. She said, Mom, I couldn't tell you before. She said, because I knew you would continue to use. She said, but you're 3 years clean now, and the only way I can heal is to let you know, and she gave it to me. And all I could do is cry and hold her. Because it happened because of me. But I'm clean enough today because of the steps that I didn't return to what she was so scared of that I would do, go back to getting high. I told her, baby, don't worry, your mom's not going back there. Because now for me to go back there would be a slap in her face for real. The progression of this disease kept me doing things I would never. I'm scared to death of dogs, y'all. I'm scared to death of dogs. But in my addiction, I ended up in a place called a hustler's party where they had the amount of drugs that I needed. You know, and I was just sharing this with my family, and the only reason why I shared it, because we was watching animals as we rode up here. Shut up. And I said, you know what, y'all? I said, I shared this about, I think, my second year clean. And it wasn't me sharing it. I don't want to tell nobody that. It was God that revealed that out of my mouth. I went to this house for 40. I had an amount of drugs for me, but they were slowly going. And the hustlers decided to come up with this lewd, lascivious act on their pit bull, and they wanted to see who would do it. Well, see, it wasn't enough the amount the first time, so my hand didn't go up. The price kept going up. It still wasn't enough for me. But by then, what I had was gone. And by the third hour, when they decided to go up to an O, my hand raised up all on itself. Why? Because it's called the progression of this disease. My hand starts saying, well, I'll do it. What? I didn't allow my kids to have dogs because I'm scared of them. But my disease said you and that doggy could do what they asking you to do. And now since my grandbaby's doing, what they was asking me to do is ejaculate a dog. You know, and when we share sometimes, we say words that might, but I'm the only one that done it. And my hand said, okay, I'll do that. And I got that O, and I got dressed and got out of there because I didn't know where else it was going to go after that. But my hand was willing enough to do that. I didn't know where it would be willing to go after that. That's called progression. When I came in 89, I wouldn't even have been in the company of a hustler. Quit playing. This was 20-some years later. See? And when I said my first meeting, they told me I don't have to live like that no more. The definitive word was, I don't have to. Yet. I missed the yet part. See, as I continued to go back out there, my yet came. Yep, I will. Me, certified welder, yes, I will. Hell, doggy, doggy. I laugh, too, at myself when I'm cheering because I'm free from it. It doesn't hurt me no more. If one of those hustlers in my first and second year being clean up here in Georgetown had came up here and walked through that door, I probably would have had a heart attack. I would have because they'd have told on me before, oh, man, that's that girl that used to. You got something bothering you, better free it up yourself before somebody else does. Because they're going to add a V and they're going to take away a V. I told her first, boo-boo, come on. Only thing I forgot is the dog's name. You could tell them that. My mother used to also tell me, she said, baby, they just found a girl dead in Pittsburgh. And Wilkinsburg, with her face blowed off. She was 300 pounds. That's all they could tell you was that she was 300 pounds and 4'10". That's all they had. And they put her shoes on the news to show, does anybody recognize these shoes? I would never contact my family when I was using. So I don't have horror stories of stealing from them. I was too scared. I don't have horror stories of going and showing up, embarrassing them, because they was having cookouts and they weren't cooking crack, so I wasn't going. But my mother would say, baby, when I see something like that on the news, only thing I say is, where's my child? My family wouldn't hear from me for 6 months to a year at a time. I made sure I kept a newspaper to let me know if somebody died because I had the obituary column. And if I didn't make the wake, I made a funeral. But other than that, I wasn't calling my family because I knew I wasn't going to ask them for no money. They ain't going to give me about five. I need 20. So I'm not calling them. I'm not visiting. But she said, if you don't do nothing but call and breathe your breath in the phone, I know it's your breath. I always said I never stole nothing from my family. She said, yeah, you stole sleepless nights. That went through me like castor oil. I never stole no money. She said, oh, yes, you did. She said, you stole sleepless nights. Oh, my God, when I can feel my mom's been dead since 2000. And every time I say that, I can still feel that castor oil feeling. Because I thought I was being a book girl. I'm not bothering y'all, you know. Yes, I was. If we feel we ain't bothering our family, yes, we are. You know, it's funny now, my kids, sometimes they call 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I say, yep, I'm still here, because before when they called, the dope man had my phone. I wasn't answering. They don't have to worry today or whether what mom is doing, because today I'm in recovery. This is new for me. I've been clean 7 months. One time, 9 months out of 28 years. This is the first time I've ever been in recovery. I am recovering today. I will recover till the day I die. But I'm just no longer clean today. That's taking a short. You know, when I was using, we didn't take no shorts. So for me to just remain clean, that's taking a short. I'm in recovery today. When we say happy, joyous, and free, I've been happy at times. I've been joyous at times. This is the first time I've been happy, joyous, and free. Now I'm going to catch y'all up to a little bit of today. My family in Johnstown has been missing me maybe for the last 2 months because I stopped coming to meetings. I stopped going to another place I frequent, and even though this is a spiritual program, not religious, there's another place I frequent on Sundays. I stopped going there too. But you know why? Because I allowed the devil to creep in my program. In August, I found out I had cancer, breast cancer. I'm in recovery. But see, that was a new end. They always hear me say the old way, which would send me back to using, through doing the steps that can't get out of me no more. If somebody died, oh, mess. Mr. Rogers died, y'all, I need something. Those were ends for me. Where I used to would get off, anything would bother me, not today, because through my step work, those ways can't affect me now. You can't get me that way. But cancer was a new way for the devil to kind of try and creep in on me. The cancer was removed. I lost a breast. They put in an implant. The implant exploded. I lost the implant. So my body is going through a double depression because of having a body part, losing it, having a replacement, and losing it too, almost dying. But the grace of my God spared me again. And it's only because I'm a message for a woman up here that might go through the same thing. I'm a message, and I believe that. But I figured now that I'm sick, everybody knows that I only got one side and that my shirt is flat on the other side. Everybody knows. My sponsor told me the people that matter already know. You should be around so they can love you. You know, I have to back up a little bit. This gentleman right here, when I had the swine flu I told you about, which I ended up with this year, I was in quarantine. I really had the swine, and I was in quarantine. He comes to my room. I said, wait a minute, you put a mask on? He said, for what? I said, because I'm in quarantine. He said, well, I've been around more germs and dumpsters than I'll ever get up here with you sick. And came right in that room and hugged me. He said, that's what we do. That's what we do. He wasn't afraid of me. You know, clean. He wasn't afraid of me to come in with the swine flu. He said, I've been around more germs than this swine ever. But back to where I'm at today, Shoot him. This program is awesome, and God will do in this program, it tells us in our literature, that he'll do for you what you won't do for yourself. Last Saturday, my home group had the speaker jam. I'm always a part of that. That's my home group. But see, I knew everybody would love, people would be there, and I didn't have that mask to keep putting on. How you doing, Andre? I haven't seen you in a while. Oh, I'm fine. How you doing, Andre? I ain't seen you in a minute. Oh, I'm good. I couldn't wear the good, I'm fine mask no more because I was just here with another person in my support group. Got fucked up, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. I was all of them, you know. And so I felt, well, I haven't been to meetings in a while. I didn't help prepare the speaker jam, so I'm not even going to go. And that was wrong of me. That was wrong of me because my home group, we all love each other. My family in these rooms, we all love each other. And I have not shared with them what's going on with me. Pain shared is pain lessened. You know, and Wednesdays, just for today, was all me. They should truly place my face on Wednesday's page. April 10th, my face should have been plastered on there. Because it talks about how we decided to just sit at home. I got a little bit of 5 years. I got me a TV again, you know, I'll sit on with the remote. No. Because as I continue to sit at home with the remote and discontinue going to my meeting, my disease will tell me you got your remote. Only thing you ain't got is a place. Because, see, when I used to get clean up, that was the reason I got clean. Just so I could get another crib, so I could put my feet up on my couch, on my new cocktail table, and get up. And the cycle goes backwards, and I lose it all again because I give it to the dope man, then I'm out on the street. That's the progression of my disease. Some of y'all in here know that before my journey was done, I moved all my furniture under the Brady Street Bridge. If anybody's from Pittsburgh, you know the Brady Street? That was my crib. I moved all my furniture under there. Not because I couldn't pay the rent. I wouldn't. I had things for that money, and it was all dope. You know? And because it had a roof. It had a covering over the Brady Street. I wasn't out in the elements, and it was summertime, and that's what we do. What does that do? I thought I had it going on because the state policeman came up under there and he shook his head. He said, oh my God. He said, this is the cause of my hall of homelessness. And I asked him, could he wipe his feet because I had a rug down and I was sleeping it. I kid you not. And people from Pittsburgh know I am not lying. But see, that's the insanity. I thought that's what we do. There's a lot of people under bridges, but they're under ones with tents and plastic bags. I got furniture. I just moved it across the street. And they just moved me to jail. You know, because I couldn't keep standing under that Brady Street bridge. The man said there's SUVs pulling up here at night. There's Cadillacs. I guess so. I'm selling. That's the insanity. I believed I could do that. Seriously, who does that? Now I'm going to get to this book here. This book here, my basic text. When I first came to 951 Penn Avenue, they used to give these to you. They gave you a basic text. They gave you a little white book. This, I carried it in my purse everywhere I went. That's how I learned all the reading. But they gave you a basic text. And they say that's for the first year of your recovery. They didn't say the first year staying clean. They said for the first year of your recovery, wherever you go, keep it with you. If you got a bathroom, keep it with you. I had my pipe in the bathroom. Every place I went. Our first year, we had our basic text. And if you show up at a meeting without it, oh boy, the good predecessors talk about you. You a bad excuse for an addict. I mean, that could really cause you some stuff. And they didn't care about hurting feelings. They meant to. Because they were trying to save your life. They weren't trying to be my friend. They weren't trying to make me feel good. They wanted to embarrass me to the point that I decided I don't want to go back out here. Because when we come in and they see us, they hurt. When I come back in 9 months from now, or a couple years from now, looking like Skeletor weighing 89 pounds, they hurt. Because they got a chance to know and love me. They didn't want me to go back out. But because I didn't stay still long enough and do what they suggested, get a sponsor, go to steps, get a greater understanding, get a way. Because I want to do the ones I want to do. This program don't work on the ones I want to do. This program works on the foundation it was built on. I thank the AA Fellowship. Because had it not been for the AA Fellowship, as far as I know, there wouldn't be no A. Narcotics Anonymous, Alcohol Anonymous, Gamblers Anonymous, Sex Anonymous, there would have been no A. I'm proud to be a member of Narcotics Anonymous because I am an addict. I can't go to church and show everybody in church how, you know, today with 5 years I want to use. That's unheard of. Oh, you want to use? Now they're going to put your purse up. Guess what? I've been sitting on your purse the whole 4 years I've been here. But now, since I just now told you I might want to use you, don't pull it over. I'm not that way today. But if I use, I might be. But I'm telling you, this is where I could come and tell y'all. I feel like using y'all with 5 years clean. See, it's only when I sit at home and keep that stuff bottled up in me, and then y'all see me going, instead of going to the meeting, I'm going in the cut. Don't think I got lost on the way. You know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get it in. You know. And God did for me what I couldn't do for myself by sending that little baby here. My daughter moved to Atlanta in August. And I told her to send my baby home so she could get around, get her feel of Atlanta. That's my youngest grandbaby. Now, I know I can't keep her in the house. So I've been getting out these last couple weeks. Because I knew I had to take her out. By me taking her out, the little light bulb went off in my head. Why not make you a boot? Why not put together two guard pads and make you a prosthesis that looks like a boot? And guess what? I went to meeting with her. And guess what? We all laughed about it because it kept popping up on my shirt. But I was in the midst of people that loved me and didn't care because they knew what was going on. And guess what? I felt so bad because that's what I've been missing the whole 2 months I've been in privy. Why? Miscommunication. Not communicate with recovery every day. I'm talking to somebody in recovery 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times a day. But I didn't reveal that I feel uncomfortable because one side of my shirt is flat. Because somebody might have been able to say, well, guess what? Ball up two of them gauzes and put it in the other side of the room. The light bulb came when I knew I had to take the baby out, so something said, you better do this. Hey, y'all, it's on. Y'all gonna be seeing me again. I'm back. And that's through this program. That's what I receive from this program, knowledge. My head's not fogged up with smoke now. I mean, it might get a little bit of warbled because I'm in that remote. I'd rather watch the housewives and cook and stuff and whatever. But when I truly sit down, get a little bit of peace, and meditate with the God of my understanding, He will reveal for me what's needed to be revealed. You know, I'm not supposed to be the speaker here today. But in truth, yes, I am. Because when God moves one out the way, He places another one in the way. And when I was asked, the only thing I could say is, I'd be honored. You know, in Pittsburgh, we call this paying the rent. It don't cost us nothing to come to meetings. We don't have to pay the church. We give a donation. If you don't put nothing in the basket we've got, we still going to pay and give the church a donation. It don't cost us nothing to come in here and drink coffee. It's going to be here. Some of y'all get an attitude. Oh, I ain't even got no cookies. Well, bring some. You know, that's why she said, we don't have cookies. That's a luxury. We have Kleenex. Now, if you can eat them, get it on. This is an awesome program for me. You know, this program is what saved my life. Because when all else failed, trying to get clean for the kids, trying to get clean for my mom, trying to get clean for the court. Because I've never been in trouble till one time. I had never been in trouble yet. Took me till 38 for my yet. You know, I done finally got on the set, on the block. And I'm talking to the cop and they know it. And I asked him, was he the police? And he said, no. But because of my naivety, my ignorance, I didn't know that they had got another name. It's called Pennsylvania Law Enforcement Agent. So when you ask them, are they a cop? And they tell you, no, he ain't lying. He said, no, I'm not a cop. I am no Pennsylvania law enforcement agent, and you're under arrest. I'm like, oh, well, far out. So 38, I'll go to court for my first time. I'm in jail. You think that stopped me? Just when my disease continued to progress. Now, I done made the bond. So now I got to do what I got to do. I'm still getting hustled. Now I'm going to hustle a little bit more. Now they knocked my door off. Here comes some more jail stuff. All of mine started, but it's the progression of this disease that sent me there. No, I'll never go to jail yet. My yet ended me there twice. It's only through the grace of God that all the time I did was a year probation. And that's because of what my record spoke for me. I've never been in trouble. I did community services. All of those things spoke for me. My pastor, they spoke for me. Had I had a record in my past? Believe me, what they came in my house and found, there is no way I might not still be standing here today. Because I had some gear up in here. But the God of my understanding saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. If y'all sitting here right now, the God of my understanding, and he don't have to be your understanding, but I know he don't make no junk. So it's not a coincidence that we all sitting here together. You know, there's no coincidence that we all, our path has not crossed. Most of y'all have never crossed paths with getting high. There's some that come up here that, oh, man, they ask me, you know everybody from Pittsburgh? Just about. Just about. And if I don't know your name, I know your face. But see, to go out of my understanding, if you don't know him yet and if you haven't grasped onto the concept of him, if you call him something else, that's good and fine, too. If you stay around this program long enough and you do these steps, you'll get to know him by his real name. I also used to tell in the meeting, how many of y'all, when y'all was little kids, when y'all would drop candy, pick it up, kiss it up? How many of y'all did that? Use that same candy guard. I pick it up, kiss up the guard, he forgive, I'm eating that stuff. Hold on to him right now. Until you find a greater understanding that you believe will keep you sane, safe, and free from addiction. See, my mother used to say, she used to say a lot of stuff. She used to say, baby, don't you know, if you ask God to remove it, he will. I know. That's why I'm not asking him. I didn't want to be clean. No. I didn't want to recover. I wanted to get high. It's just that I hadn't looked at the pattern yet. Get high, lose home, maybe go to jail, possibly die. I did all of them except possibly die. I've been close. But I ain't met the grave yet. Today, through this program, when I do meet it, I'll be clean. You know, I don't want my grandbabies to look in the casket and see an 89-pound grandma because she was smoking and somebody chopped her head off. I don't want my kids to go through that. They have to say, you know, no, my grandkids will never hear that your grandma's a crackhead. My kids have. But my grandkids will never have to go through that. You know, because that puts a stigma with them. Somebody called her, right, your grandmother crackhead, boom, they're ready to fight or whatever, whatever. They don't have to go through that. So I'm not putting that on them. I did it with my kids. They already, your mom's a crackhead. If you're new in this program, give yourself a break. I'm 55 years old right now. When I came in, I was 28. There's so many things I could have continued to do instead of continuing to progress in my disease. You know, I love, when I went to my first rehab at St. Francis, which is now Children's Hospital, they told me that I had to see the therapist. So every morning we would do our little exercise, go eat, and I would always say, oh, man, now it's time to see the rapist. The therapist asked me, he said, Ms. Reynolds, why do you always call me the rapist? I said, damn, you went to college and can't spell T-H-E-R-A-P IST, the rapist. He shook his head at me. He said, you know what, Miss Reynolds? You done missed your calling. He said, what you need to do, stay clean, go to school, and help somebody. I would love to be in the drug and alcohol field right now, but guess what? I'm 55. By the time I go to school and I graduate, time to retire. If I didn't get it when I came in at 28 and he told me that, I'd have some years up behind me as a therapist helping another addict. But it's because I missed the buzzwords at the meeting. When they said I never had to live like that, I went outside to smoke. When I came back in and they said any addict seeking recovery to lose his desire to use and find a new way of life, that's how I probably went to the bathroom. Look, my sponsor told me the meeting ain't but an hour. I don't need to go outside and smoke 3 cigarettes. I was picking them off the ground when I was using them, and they have none. Sit still for that hour. Them cigarettes ain't going nowhere. See, my predecessors, too, when I talked about them not wanting to hurt your feelings, they said if I hurt your feelings, I'm into. They would tell us women, tell them to pull that skirt down. You ain't off the family. You don't need to drink 55 cups of coffee. It ain't but an hour meeting. We see you. You hear me? We see you. I'm proud to be a member of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I know we are anonymity is a spiritual foundation of our tradition, but see, I want y'all to know who I am. I want y'all to know that not only am I Andrea, my last name is Reynolds, because if I get sick and y'all want to come visit me, they don't have me by Andrea. Well, she's in here. She got an afro. I'm not afraid. I say that because I'm not ashamed to be a part of Narcotics Anonymous. Narcotics Anonymous saved my life. You know, and I know the anonymity is that sometimes there are doctors and lawyers in here. And where our literature is here, there are no advice givers, preachers, or counselors. That needs to be revised because, yes, we are. We have arrived. We then got clean, recovered, and went to college. We are counselors, advice givers, and preachers in here, but we're not active while we're in here. What I'm saying is, I'm looking at the young. I'm looking at, what's the word I want to call it? I'm looking at youth in here. Okay, see, I'm here at the end of a rope now. The most I could do is be a good nana to my 16 grandbabies and 3 great-grand. Come carry the message to a sick and suffering another addict. But y'all can do whatever you want to do. Y'all can go back to college. The sky's the limit. The presidency is open in a couple more years. The sky's the limit for all of y'all sitting here. Whatever you want to do. I can't do that no more. You know, I can't sit there like y'all sitting unless I got this rope. I'm now belong at the end of a rope. Why? Because I continue to progress. When the doctors told me quit smoking, I just decided I ain't smoking no more, but I ain't smoking no less. When they told me if I didn't quit smoking, I was going to die, okay, I'll just quit smoking crack. I still smoke cigarettes, y'all. Come on. I've been smoking cigarettes since I was 11 years old. I'm 55. Do the math. I smoked crack 30 years. Do the math. My lungs are toast. But the God of my understanding still sees something in me that I don't see yet, because if I saw it, I'd put down a cigarette. See, so I don't see it, but he sees it. He sees it in me. And he keeps allowing me to roll around with this. Once again, all I want to tell you is that this is an awesome program. If you are sincerely done, and I'll say it again, if you are sincerely done with getting high, with hustling, with being hustled, get yourself a basic deck. Get yourself a guard of your understanding. Get a good weed. See, I love everybody in the room, but they're not all my weed. God will put a weed in your weed that he wants to be in your weed. We meet everybody in recovery, but a weed knows when I'm sick. A weed knows You ain't been to meet in 3 weeks. What's up? A weed's gonna call me. Where you been? I ain't seen you. Not when I get to the meeting, tell me, oh, I ain't seen you in a while. No shit. That's what a weed is. A weed knows you like you know you. Get you a sponsor, y'all. See, I wasn't gonna tell nobody about that stuff with that doggy. Not supposed to go to my grave. But because of these steps, step four freed me from me. Step four showed me that I'll get me a doggy friend. Step four showed me that I'll neglect my kids. Step four showed me that I'll risk my sexuality and go out there with any Tom, and risk possibly catching a disease, because I got away before. Not going to get me. Yet. I still have the yet. If I go back out, it's yet. And I'm going to tell y'all this, I can't go back out again, y'all. My running days are over. For the simple fact, where I end up at, they don't have electricity. I'll go up in a vandalinium in a minute. And see, when this run out after a couple hours, I need that little charger over there on that table. They ain't got nothing in the vandalinium. I'm going to die right there on my next run. It ain't going to be a couple. It's going to be my next run. Because I'm not moving until my crack's done. And this machine going to be ran out of oxygen. And see, when I smoke and take it off and put it back on, it's going to run out. And I'm going to die on my next run. Find a reason that on your next run that you believe you might die, and there won't be a next run for you. To whom much is given in this program, much is expected. What's expected is that you carry the message to the next sick and suffering addict. That's why we say we keep what we have by giving it away. I can't keep this, what I shared today in me. Because by me telling somebody today what I thought might free them up to be able to say, oh, Dad, I can't go out without one boob. Because that boob is not who I am. It does not represent my character. It's just a part of me that had to be removed. Had I let it stay there, I would have died, and y'all would have never got to hear the message that brought to my understanding had to bring. It may release and free up another woman to say, oh, my God, you did that too? And whatever she's done don't seem so grand as what I've done. And be able to free her and remove some of the stuff that you carry to your grave. Oh, I'll take that to my grave. Today you don't have to. Anything that's ever been done, we done it as addicts. And it can be shared in these rooms. Only shared if you don't mind it going back out. Because see, today somebody goes to, oh, Andrea told me she was messing with doggies. No, I didn't. I didn't say doggies, I said dog. But now I don't care if it goes out. I don't care if it goes out and be repeated because I've told it first. And when I get the call back, I can. But like I said, these rooms are for anybody, any addict, seeking recovery, that wants to lose the desire to use. To find a new way to live. You don't have to worry about somebody coming in there telling stuff on you. But see, there's some men in here too that have been with men, and they think they're secrets they're going to take to the grave. Guess what? Let that man walk up in here that you was with. And he's going to tell before you. It's what we do. It's not who we are. The things I've done when I was younger, it's not who I am. But it's what I'll do when I get high. It's not who I am. But I don't make no job. Get a sponsor. Get a home group. Find a God of your understanding. Fellowship. Help another addict. And continue to pray. And stay in recovery. I'm the addict called Andrea. Thanks for allowing me to share.